Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, second segment, Old School to New School Way. A lot going on. I didn't get fully through it before we ended the segment. But I think it's like pre-training camp. And my favorite team, not really, but one of my favorite owners, man, Jerry Jones. Hey, man, I know I'm tight. I know I'm stingy. But that man is stingy. He said, listen, I don't care what you do. I don't want to pay you. But he holds out, then he overpays. And before I get into Jerry Jones, I met Jerry Jones one time. Twice. I wanted to visit the Dallas, but another time, you know, that was real quick. Kind of probably knew he wasn't going to sign me. It was a high and buy. Thanks for coming. You know what I mean? But he was out at Harvard. And, you know, I asked him about marketing and raising money. And he's like, oh, that's a great question. And so he's like, and I was like, do you got a plan B? Or I said, what's your plan A and plan B? Plan A and plan B. He's like, I go in there and give my plan A. And I said, well, what's your plan B? He's like, I ain't got one. Either you give me the money or not. I was like, okay, Jerry. Okay, then.
All right.
It worked out for him, though. He's like, I don't need no plan B. Everything I do is working. And one thing
compare and contrast that to Cal McNair down there yeah. in Houston. You know, yeah, I mean, those are two big cities, two completely different plans.
Jerry Jones, he ain't never heard of no. Everything, he's never heard a hard no. Everything's like it's just a matter. I'm gonna keep asking a different way till you say yes. But I think Jerry Jones, in the point of what he's saying, is maybe the undertone. Dak, I think, is legitimately hurt, and he's played hurt. But some of the times he's saying, "Hey, I pay some of these players," and all of a sudden, magically, they start to become brittle. But I think your two star players taking shots at your two star players that are laid on the line. And one that's going to get mega paid, because I think you see T.J. Watt now. If I'm Michael Parsons, I'm asking for $45 million a year, and maybe 50 just to make you mad. And you got to think with Michael Parsons, he wouldn't negotiate with his agent, and that was some issues. To essentially question them, take shots at them, is probably not the best way that you want to start a 2025 year. Where I felt like they made some really good offseason moves and drafted well. And they had some young talent that they really had. They got Guyton. They found a running back. I think Dak's coming back. You got Knucklehead Pickens. And then obviously got CeeDee Lamb. I think they got bigger guns to the defensive line. And then you got Schottenheimer, who needs all the help he can get from that locker room. I think you just originally just drove a fork or just a knife right through the middle of that locker room. Considering that you have two different types of players, one player that really laid it on the line for you, especially during COVID and all that stuff, told it the company line, you dragged him along, and then you paid him as a top quarterback when he really wasn't, but it's your own doing. And then you have another player who is essentially had early comparisons to LT and is unstoppable at when healthy. And does a lot of things off the field, podcasts and all that stuff, and had maybe his dedication questioned at times, but still is in a down year for him. 12, 13 sacks, and definitely is a guy you got a game plan for and you got to pay. Throwing them under the bus when you need your team to be more tight than ever, when you're looking up at the Commanders and Philadelphia, it was probably not the best business move for Jerry Jones, but we can only see what happens in the future.
I think there's a couple things I got on this. First of all, J.J. Watt said something very, very similar. He says, anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously right before the season begins, you just got to take it. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. That's a guy who's been through it. That's a guy who got his money, made a huge impact in the pretty well. And then when you look at the Cowboys offseason, like you were alluding to, Jay, all they had to do to make it, you know, a perfectly normal run of the mill, pretty chill for the Cowboys offseason was signed Micah Parsons to an extension.
Right.
You know it's coming. You know the longer you wait, the more you're going to have to pay. The Miles Garrett first, now TJ Watt. Those are two guys in the same camp that just drove Micah Parsons' price up pretty substantially. And now you're talking bad about the guy that you ostensibly want to re-sign, who you made a dumb decision and waited even longer than you needed to pay. It's bad business. It's horrible optics for a Cowboys team that I think could have come into this year under the radar with not a splashy, in-your-face, big-name hire in Schottenheimer, with a good, solid, not, you know, groundbreaking NFL draft. You made some questionable decisions maybe in free agency and who you let walk and who you brought in. But it would have been just an average offseason, devoid of headlines in the negative, if all you had done would be re-sign Micah Parsons first. Because if you sign him to the Miles Garrett deal, you lock him up at 40 per year, and then Garrett gets 40 and a half or 41, and then TJ Watt gets, you know, 41, 41 and a half like he did, you're saying, hey, we got Micah Parsons, you know, paid, and we got him on a discount at the same time. He got paid. He was the highest. He understands the nature of the business. Things come and go. But instead, you waited. You're costing yourself even more money, and now you're pissing the player off at you. What are we doing, Jer?
Yeah, it's not only that, then. Why would you – what's attractive of going to play? I mean, Dallas is one of the most iconic franchises in the whole world, you know, as far as, you know, branding. So what would make Jay Foreman or Austin Orman, unless it's like crazy amount of money, to go there as a free agent in the next few years, considering that you're not paying the third or fourth best pass rusher and you're the youngest out of all those pass rushers top dollar? Micah Parsons is a top four pass rusher. When he's on his game, he's unstoppable, just like TJ Watt, but he's the youngest.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You're not paying him, and then you're publicly bashing him. So now you're a little bit of Al Davis and Marcus Allen. Is it personal, or you just don't want to play him? I think it's you're thinking, you know, you're really, really short-sighted, but then also it could hurt you long-term. No matter how iconic the Dallas Cowboys, you know, star is and how big your stadium is, your football team hasn't been up to snuff, and you're losing fans, but then also you're losing brand awareness as well, because now that's the brand. The Jerry Jones press conference after wins or losses, and then more importantly, when you don't want to pay your best players. I understand it if you don't want to play your middle ground or worst players. You don't want to pay your best players. If you didn't think Dak Prescott was good, you could have traded him or cut him years ago. And you kept him around, and now you're having a little buyer's remorse because Jalen Hurts is playing well. Well, when you needed Dak to do well, you didn't have any receivers around him. And you got rid of Amari Cooper, who was essentially the quietest 1,100 yards possible, and you gave him away for a box of crackers and a couple pieces of bubble gum. And so it wasn't a good look. I understand what he was saying. Guys can get hurt, and they have to admit, you know, they're probably trying to look at longevity. But really, you're not getting paid off of last year's production. You're getting paid off a year's production, and Miles Garrett has been producing, or not Miles Garrett, but Michael Parsons has been producing ever since he got in the league.
The big money franchises in other sports, right? You think about the Dodgers, have a lot of money, have their fair share of history. They've dominated the NL West recently, but they're ahead of the game. In a lot of analytics and technology, they make savvy trades. They make savvy free agent signings. And the Cowboys aren't doing that. You don't really hear a peep from the Dodgers front office. You think about, on the other side of things, the Yankees on the low have one of the better farm systems in baseball. Yankees just relaxed their rules on facial hair, right? That's a little thing that gave them some positive headlines. Even the Lakers, right? I mean, not perfectly run by any sense of the organization or word, but new ownership coming in. They did make the move to go get LeBron. They did make the move to go get Luka. You can blame them or credit them for that however you want. But when you look at these big money, iconic franchises, Jerry Jones isn't investing in the little things that makes these franchises, you know, great and give them staying power. It's one thing to have financial advantage. It's another thing to use it. Jerry Jones clearly is not. And not only is he not using his money, he's burning what goodwill he may or may not have left. I mean, it's been, what, 30 years since they made it to a Super Bowl, give or take? About that long since they made it to an NFC Championship game, even. And sure, it's more about the players on the field, but there's a definite argument to be made that starts up top. And Jerry is not doing the Cowboys as many favors as you know, Mark Walters is doing for the Dodgers or the Steinbrenners have done for the Yankees. It's just not even close.
Yeah, you know, the problem is that when you think of the Commanders, you know, and you got Magic Johnson, obviously, with the Dodgers, he's plugging the holes that maybe ownership can't plug themselves, and he's a good face of the program. Whereas Jerry or the franchise, where Jerry Jones wants to be everything, he has to be. And you know what? He said it. You know, I make the money, I pay the guys, I should be able to make the decisions, and I'll live with it. And that's what he wants to do. But then also, he I don't think he's really come to the realization that the Dallas Cowboys are garbage, and they're becoming slowly but surely the laughingstock of the NFL, considering some of the antics that they do, the way they lose games, the way the hiring process. You got to think, how are you going to get you know, just say Andy Reid, you know, decides to leave Kansas City, and you want to get Andy Reid, you know, before you pass it down to your son. Why would Andy Reid go with Jerry Jones, considering Mike McCarthy, who Andy Reid knows, was strung along for 2 weeks, knowing they were going to fire him, but kept him, and then it hurt him from getting a head coaching job, in particular, maybe the New Orleans job or maybe another job. So it's not only the players, it's the coaches. And future hiring practices, and then obviously the paying practices in the real time when you have the players.
It's just a really tough look, and it's completely unforced, right? At least it seems like it from this side. It doesn't seem like this is anything but, you know, Jerry wanting control, Jerry wanting to do things his way. And again, he's the owner of one of the most valuable franchises in sports. He's sitting on that nest egg, and good for him for that. But man, if you say you're about winning, prove you're about winning. Jerry Jones hasn't done that for decades. Now, they've had some good teams that have fallen short in the playoffs, absolutely. But every time it seems like Dallas is close, or Dallas is, you know, in a spot of normalcy, here comes Jerry Jones again to say something or do something. You're just like, dude, you almost had it. You were so close. You're right there on the brink of being normal, and you just couldn't help yourself.
Yeah, well, I don't think anything Jerry's done as an owner has been normal. You come in, you fire Tom Landry. You get Jimmy Johnson, you win all the Super Bowls, and you're like, I want the credit, and he's the coach, and essentially the GM. So you couldn't just sit back, and then ever since then, you ran off Bill Parcells. You fired Wade Phillips after, you know, being very successful. You hired Dave Campbell because you could essentially tell him what to do. So I don't think anything is ever going to be normal down there in Dallas, but they're very, very close, and it comes out on the field, essentially, in clock management and all that other type of stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see what Dallas does. They actually had a good offseason. I think they did. I think they really plugged some holes that needed to be plugged. Very quiet offseason for them. And then here we go, right before training camp, probably out there in Oxnard. And just think of Brian Schottenheimer saying, you can't say anything. You don't have any – you ain't even coached an NFL game yet as a head coach. You can't say nothing. You just got to sit there and just roll along with it. And now you're losing credibility in the locker room because – the boss man is essentially punking you and deteriorating your ability to create a winning culture inside the locker room. So I think it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if Jerry Jones tries to clean it up or not, but I doubt he will. We'll see if those quotes and those thoughts come back up if they struggle at any point in time during this NFL season. But we're up against the block. We're going to take a quick break, come back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, live in effect down here in Las Vegas. Old school. We'll be right back.
Save big money right now at Menards. lights, from smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more. Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.